Good morning, everybody. Oh my gosh, hello. So I might be pointing at a lot of people from now. Hey, happy anniversary, you guys. Wow, you guys, it is so awesome to be back standing here. It's kind of surreal. You know, if you've been around for a while, you know, this is one of the spiritual houses that I grew up in. And so I just feel just deeply honored to be back here and to share the Word of God with you. And so I have not done this in a long time, so I'm a little rusty at this particular part, but I want to welcome all of our locations, everybody in the different theaters here. If you're over at Kailua, welcome. Online, what else is there? WCCC and Pearl, there's just like so many. This church is a big church, and praise God for that. So welcome everybody today as we continue in this series. What I've been up to really quickly, in case you're interested, do you care? Are you interested? Okay, I just thought I'd ask because maybe some people don't care. But I've been continuing to do like guitar lessons. I work at a guitar shop. I think that's new from the last time I was here, so I'm around guitars all day. It's heaven on earth. You know, it's pretty crazy good. So that's been great. I'm still doing some of the home inspection stuff as well. I'm also still involved. This is new from when the last time I was here, which was in July. I've really gotten involved with some things that stir my heart the most, which is God's kingdom. It's his family. And so I started attending a small church plant, and we're helping to kind of build that little church up. So that's really exciting. I also started getting heavily involved with a ministry called Lovesick Ministries, and we do various different things like schools, ministry schools, teaching schools. One of those things is called Kingdom Living. That's going on right now, so I'm busy with that. And then in June, I'm super excited for this. It's called the Oahu School of Worship. That's something that's just very near and dear to my heart. I'm really excited about that. Hopefully, you'll hear more about that as that progresses. Again, that's happening in June of this year, okay? So, all of that said, I'm so happy to be here, and I just believe that God is going to do something really great today. Do you believe that today? I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do something so powerful in your life today through his word and just through his love and through his power, and I just commend you for being here, and I want you to open your heart to receive something new from the Holy Spirit today and something powerful, all right? I've been thinking about this a lot. I really love the fact that I grew up in Hawaii. For those of you who grew up here in Hawaii, are you happy about that? Okay, just like some of you, but that's cool. Yeah, Hawaii is a great place, obviously, right? And one of the things that I've been appreciating a lot more about this beautiful place that we grew up in is the local sayings that are just unique to our culture that you won't find anywhere else. Like if you go up to the college, or if you go up to the mainland for college and you say these things, people look at you weird because they don't know what you're talking about. But these unique local sayings, right? Like, so for example, one of these things, lucky we live, Hawaii, okay, yes, thank you. I want you guys to answer loudly if you know the answer to these things, right? Lucky we live Hawaii. Here's another one. If can, if no can, no can, right? Eddie Wood, go. Broke the mouth, right? Yeah, you guys have lots of good food over here at this church, which I am also grateful for. One of my favorite local sayings of all time, I think I say it a lot, and I know a lot of us do as well. No shame, right? We say this all the time. Like, I know I say these things, or I think these things, maybe more so than I say them. But like, for example, when you're at a party and they open the buffet line and nobody wants to get up and go, you know what I think in my head? No shame. I just get up, I go. Like, I have started the buffet line at every party I've been at, and I am not ashamed about that fact. When you're at your friend's house and people are bringing snacks or whatever, and there's somebody brought Lily Hawk cream puffs, right? The Cocoa Puffs or whatever, and people are eating them, and then there's one left. You know what I think? Ah, no shame, bro. I eat that thing. Like, they brought this for me. They love me. They want me to have it. They're not going to care. I don't know. That's what I think. So I don't know if that's right or wrong. No shame, though. That's just how I live my life, right? When you go sing karaoke, no shame, right? Just, like, go and, like, sing your brains out. Here's one that I really want us to catch. When you worship God, no shame, right? Like, you just worship him, not just on Sunday, like, when we're singing songs, but just, like, every day of your life. No shame. Just worship Jesus because he's worthy of that, right? And so I was thinking about this phrase, you know, it's so popular over here, but the interesting thing is, I wonder how many of us actually live like that, right? Like literally with no shame in our lives. So I read a study this week that said about 15% of people claim that they never feel shame about anything, okay? 15% of people. And as I was thinking about this message, I thought, you know, that's me. Like, I'm a person who would say, I don't really ever feel, like, shameful or, like, stuff like that. That's how I thought. But I started thinking about that, and I thought, but you know what? Is that really true? Like, do I really not feel shame ever? Turns out, shame is something that goes by different names, and we don't always call it shame. So raise your hand if you have ever felt embarrassed in your life. Raise your hands, all of our locations. If you didn't raise your hand, are you embarrassed to raise your hand right now? Because don't worry, you could do it. Next one, I'll give you another chance. Has anybody ever felt guilty about anything? Can I see your hands? Yeah, see, whether we call it shame or not, guilt, embarrassment, those are things that are related to shame. And we've all felt embarrassed, we've all felt guilty, so we've all felt some kind of shame in our lives. And we can feel embarrassed, we can feel guilty, we can feel shameful for a whole bunch of different reasons, right? Like, not sticking to your diet, right? How many of us have said, I'm gonna go on a diet, and then we ate the cream puff, because no shame, right? And then we're just like, okay, shucks, that didn't work out so well. New Year resolutions, like, okay, we had the good intentions, it is now January 20th. Feel guilty that I gave up on those things, right? Our physical appearance, there's maybe something about our body that we're just embarrassed about or something, we feel shameful about that. Come on, remote, making me embarrassed here. Okay, our relationships, maybe you had failed relationships, there were breakups, divorce, or just tension in some of your close relationships. How you did in school, if you got bad grades, or if you didn't finish school or college. Just poor decisions that we made in the past that we feel regret over, failures, things that we started but we didn't finish, or we had high hopes for something and it all came crashing down. If we're experiencing financial stress, that's a big thing that makes us feel shame or embarrassed. We don't want people to know about that. If we've been abused in the past, or if we were a person who has caused abuse, we can feel remorse and guilt over that. Hurtful words we said, things we didn't say, maybe giving up on your dreams, or that sense of, I never followed my dreams. I had this dream that I felt like it was from God or just in me my whole life, and I spent my whole life not stepping out or not believing in that. Feeling unworthy is a huge one. Some of us, if we're honest today, you don't feel worthy to be sitting in church because of the things that you've done. You feel like, I'm not worthy to be here because I don't think God could forgive me for these things. If that's you, I want to tell you that's going to change today in Jesus' name. And God's word tells us that we all experience this, right? Shame is something that every human being understands because we experience it. Even the 15% of people who say, I don't experience shame, you experience these things and you feel some kind of guilt or embarrassment about some of these things. And this is just a small list. The very first people who ever existed, Adam and Eve, we find out where shame comes from through them. And we'll pick it up in Genesis chapter 3. If you've been in church for a while, this is probably familiar to you. Verse 7, at that moment when they ate the fruit, they disobeyed God. Their eyes were open and they suddenly felt, what's the word? Shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. What that tells us is this, and this is something that applies not just to them but to us today, is that we feel shame when we don't listen to God. If you really want to boil it down as to why people feel shame, where shame comes from in the world, it's because we do something that is outside of what God says is right. It's outside of what God says is good. It's outside of what God says is true. The fancy word for that is sin, right? That's what we call it in church. You read that word a lot in the Bible, but it basically means disobedience to God. And when we do that, we feel shame for that. The next thing that Adam and Eve do is they hide, right? When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And we do exactly the same thing, is that when we sin, when we disobey God and we have that guilt, we have that shame, we're embarrassed by something that we did, we hide it, right? We try to hide it from God. We try to hide it from other people. We don't want anybody to know about the things that make us feel guilty or make us feel shameful. And so we cover our shame and we hide just like Adam and Eve did. And then the next thing that they do, I don't have the verse for it, but after this, God says, why did you do it? And then Adam says, well, my wife made me do it, right? And then he looks at Eve and he says, why'd you do it? And she's like, yeah, well, that snake, totally made me do it. And so what they do is they start blaming. That's another thing that happens when you and I experience shame or embarrassment, is when we feel shame, we hide and we blame. We try to point the finger, right? It's just a natural response because we don't want to feel shame. So we try to put it on somebody else. We say, well, listen, it's not my fault, it's your fault, right? If you never said that thing, or if you didn't do this thing, or if you just did what I told you to do, we wouldn't have been in this mess right now. Or, you know, we just try to find anybody to point the finger at besides ourselves. And some of us, I think, maybe it's not that people are blaming you. Some of us are just naturally very hard on ourselves. We're always kind of finding something wrong that we did, or we're thinking, did I say something wrong to this person, or is this person mad at me? Have I offended them? And we're constantly just putting guilt and shame on our own selves, even though it's not true. It's just, we just have these thoughts constantly. And so after all of this happens in Genesis, you continue to read the Bible, we learn that God kind of declared a way for people to pay for their shame, to pay for their sins, right? It was through something called sacrifice, where you take something innocent, like a lamb or a goat or a cow or a bird or one of those things, and then you take its life. And in that act, you're saying that this innocent creature is going to pay for my shame. It's going to pay for my sin. It's going to pay for the things that I am guilty for. And that was what God declared needed to be done about sin. So if we fast forward now all the way to Jesus, we're in the garden, but we're going to go all the way to the cross now. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, it was because he intended to be the very last sacrifice that people would ever have to pay for their sins, for their shame, for their guilt. And why did he do that? It's because he loved us. We celebrated that by taking communion today, by remembering the fact that, yes, Jesus paid the price so that we're not guilty for our sins anymore. Because God would rather have you live your life free from the shame of sin so that you're free to become all that he created you to be. If you're weighed down by guilt and shame, you will never be able to achieve all the things that God has purposed and planned for you. Ephesians 5 verse 2 talks about this, how we're to live a life that's filled with love following the example of Christ, because he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, which was a pleasing aroma to God. So Jesus paid the price. He was that sacrifice for us. I love how Hebrews 12:2 takes that moment on the cross and gives us this further insight as to what Jesus was feeling when he was on the cross. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its, what's the word? Shame. Disregarding its shame. It's telling us that while Jesus was on the cross, there was some joy that he was looking ahead to. He wasn't just thinking about the humiliation of the moment. He was looking ahead to something that was ultimately going to be a great joy. And because he was focused on that, because he was focused on the fact that when I complete this, when I get to finally say it is finished and give my last breath up to God, and I know for sure that sins have been paid for, I've paid the price, I'm the final sacrifice, this shame that is cast upon me right now, I'm going to disregard that. He literally was thinking, no shame. That's what Jesus was thinking about. It was the most humiliating moment of his life. It was the point in his life when he should have felt the most shame, because he was completely innocent, and here he is, stripped, totally naked, nailed to a cross, thorn of crowns, shoved into his head, hands and feet with nails in them, people hurling insults at him, spitting on him, hitting him, pulling at his hair and his beard. And in that moment, instead of giving in to saying, I feel so ashamed right now, I feel so embarrassed by this public humiliation that I'm in, instead of that going through his mind and giving into that, he was declaring to the world, I am not ashamed to show the world how much I love them. I am not ashamed to give my life for you because I love you so much. The moment that Jesus faced the greatest shame was the moment he said, this is the greatest act of unashamed love that I could ever display to the world. And sometimes we don't allow his love to overpower our guilt. Sometimes if we live our lives where the guilt is the driving, motivating factor for us to live a holy life or a life that's pleasing to God, it means that we're letting our guilt overpower and overshadow the amazing love of Jesus, the amazing love of God. And I want us to really remember this. The only thing more powerful than shame is the love of God, meaning that you and I cannot overcome our shame by trying to do more good things because we feel guilty about it. The only way that we can change and move forward and actually shed the weight of shame is to be overwhelmed by the love of God, and to let that be the motivating factor as to why we want to change, why we want to be closer to Him, is because of His love for us. Why we want to change and be more like Him is not because He makes us feel guilty because we can't measure up to His standard. It's just that because He loves us. A pastor was sharing about a time in his life, and I remember listening to this sermon and how this, what he shared, was so powerful for me. And he was sharing how he was feeling so overwhelmed by shame and guilt, and he was feeling unworthy to even be a Christian. Nonetheless, a pastor, just poor decisions he had made in his past, his guilt was overwhelming him. And in that time, he was praying, and he just felt like the Lord was speaking to his heart, and he felt like Jesus said to him, "Stop taking my stuff." And he said, "What do you mean, taking your stuff?" Jesus said back to him, "You're taking things that belong to me." And so he's kind of confused, and he says, "Lord, what am I taking that's yours?" And Jesus told him, "Your guilt, your shame, all these things that you cannot let go of, I paid the price for them on the cross. I took them from you forever. It's mine. I decide what to do with it, and I don't want you to have it back. It's my stuff. Stop taking it back from me." And that encounter with the Lord just radically changed his life. And that really, I mean, some of us need to hear that. Like, that's not just something Jesus said to this one particular pastor. I hope you receive those words for yourself, because Jesus is saying to each and every one of us that when we feel overwhelmed with shame, listen, if you have faith in Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, your shame is his possession. And he's going to decide what he wants to do with it. And I'll tell you right now, he does not want to give it back to you, because that's his stuff. Even in the times where we feel like a holy conviction, right, where we're genuinely convicted by the Holy Spirit because we know we've sinned, we've done something wrong, and we genuinely in our hearts feel the shame of that. Because God will allow us to feel that at times, to repent, to change. But listen to this very, very closely. Jesus wants you and I to repent, but he wants us to repent by responding to his love, not by being overwhelmed with our guilt. Does that make sense? Because there's two different ways that we can do that. We can let our guilt overwhelm us, or we can respond to his love. Romans 2 verse 4 tells us, "Are you unaware that God's kindness leads you to repentance?" Maybe you've heard that before, but sometimes we flip it around. Because we think when we repent, God is saying, "Oh, about time, right? Took you long enough. Like, I was wondering when you were going to come and repent for this thing. I mean, seriously, if you took one day longer, you might have gone to hell." You know, like, this is what we think God is thinking, that God is constantly upset and mad and wants to shame us, wants to guilt us. And right here in the Word of God, it's so clear that it's his kindness that leads us to change the way we live, the way we think. It's not that Jesus is saying, "Shame on you." Jesus is saying, "Look, I took the shame off you. I love you so much. I'm so glad that you feel this shame, and it's causing you to repent and turn to me and put those things in the past, because now we can move forward. I'm so happy. I'm so excited for how much blessing you're going to receive in your life, because you're choosing to respond to my love, and we're going to leave all that stuff behind, and we're going to move forward." And this is really a constant process, right? This whole thing is what the Bible calls renewing your mind. It's saying that we're going to change the way we think, and that's not just to say we're going to change to think more in line with God's word. One of the things that we need to change today, one of the things that we need to let go of, is the overpowering sense of guilt and shame that motivates our lives. And Jesus is saying, "Let that go, and let my love replace that, so you can really move forward." Romans 12:2 is one of the first verses that I memorized when I was a new Christian, because it was so powerful to me. "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." That's what the Christian life is. Being transformed into a new person by changing the way you think, or renewing your mind. That's what other translations call it. Then you're going to learn, that's how I say the word will, to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, right? It doesn't say that when we change our, when we repent, when we renew our minds, that we're going to learn to know God's will for us through guilt and shame and embarrassment, right? It says that out of his love, his kindness, his things that are good and pleasing, perfect, his will for us, that's going to motivate us to change. I need you to do something right now, okay? If you came to church today and you thought, "Oh, I'm just here to listen to a message and spectate," I have something for you to do, okay? Because if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you've got some work to do right now, okay? I want you to do something very simple. Everybody lift up your right hand. Everybody, okay? Place it on the person to your right. I need to help with my directions. On their shoulder. Shoulder, okay? Shoulder. On the right, shoulder. Okay, if you can't see them because they're too far, just extend a hand to them. Okay, and I just want you to say this out loud. In Jesus' name, no shame. Take your left hand, put it on the person on your left. I know this is your second choice, but say it out loud. In Jesus' name, no shame. Okay, listen, I want you, that's not just something funny that we did. As a believer, you have the Spirit in you, and you're touching someone that I physically can't do that right now. You have the power to release that over somebody's life. And so I just believe that right now in this place, that's literally happening, no shame, because of Jesus' love, we're gonna get rid of that. For years, scientists have been studying our minds and how our brains work and things like that. And what they've come to understand is how our minds tend to create familiar pathways, okay? So our brain basically does this thing where something happens in our life, and if it makes us feel shame or guilt or embarrassment, we start to carve this path in our minds, and it leads us to a place where we shut down, we experience guilt, we're motivated to do things that are maybe harmful to us, or just they're not right thinking. They're things that are apart from God. And we train our minds to carve out a certain path and walk them. So every time we experience that sort of same sensation, we travel to the same destination on this familiar path that we've made. And renewing your mind is all about not taking the old paths that you've made, but helping, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to carve new paths to take so that you don't walk the old paths of shame. Does anybody know what is significant about the date December 12th, 1997? No, that's not when I was born, okay? Like, I'm not that young. here's what it is. Up until that date, in December of 97, there were, the way to get into the windward side from Honolulu or from the rest of the island was kind of limited, right? You could take the Like'e'like, which is great. You can take the Pali, which is great. Or you can drive around the whole island, right, to get to the windward side. But on December 12, 97, a new freeway was open, which is the H3, right? How many of you drive the H3 pretty often? Yeah? How many of you enjoy driving the H3 because of the views? How many of you took the H3 in today? Yeah, right? Some of us did, right? The H3, as you know, is a beautiful freeway, an interstate freeway. And it, as a whole, it took 37 years to complete this thing, right? From the envisioning of it to the planning, the financing of it, the building it. And along the way, there were all these people who ridiculed it, who said this is not a good idea. They resisted it. They couldn't see the benefit of that. There's a joke about that in the rail somewhere in there, but I'm going to leave that alone. But you know what? Even though it went through 37 years of opposition and resistance, there were people who believed in this, right? There were people who looked past the criticism and they saw something. They knew what the outcome was going to be. They saw this new path that was going to be carved through paradise, and the criticism did not deter them from finishing the H3. And today, you know, it's one of the most beautiful, like I said, roadways on the island. And it's like every time I drive the H3, I'm always just like in awe of how beautiful this island is that we live on. I'm in awe of God's creation. Every time I come out of that tunnel, right, that you're coming from Townside, coming through to the windward side, and you come out of that big tunnel and you see Kaneohe Bay, like, who doesn't say, wow, right? Like, that's literally what every single person says. You're forced to say it. It just comes out of your mouth and you can't help it. You just say, wow. Because it's so, so beautiful. Listen, God sees the paths of shame that you and I have carved for ourselves. He knows that we take those paths all the time. He knows that we're used to them. But he also sees the potential new paths that your mind can travel. And you and I have to trust that as we trust in him in that process, maybe it's going to take years for us to renew our mind in a certain area, to let go of a guilt or shame. But we have to trust that when we create this new pathway, when we give him permission to do that, when we stop taking the old paths and just trust, this new path is going to be beautiful. It's going to lead to places that bring us life. It's going to be a scenic view. It's going to show us more of God's beauty. It's going to take us to places where at the end of the destination, we say, wow, God is good. God is so good. And that happens by renewing our minds. The only thing better than driving the H3 and doing that by yourself is having somebody that you love in the car with you driving the H3, right? Because you're both like, wow, this is so amazing. You both kind of share in that moment. That's why God also kind of wants you to not go through this process all by yourself. He wants you to travel this journey of carving out new paths for your mind with other Christians, with the church. And I mentioned how at the beginning, I'm a person who I feel like I don't struggle with shame all that much. That's how I am right now today. But the truth is, before I became a Christian, right, so before any of y'all's knew me, I just remember my life and how I literally was overwhelmed with guilt and shame every day. That was just how I lived. I felt shameful for so many things. Shameful that I didn't do well in school, even though I could have. I just didn't have the motivation. I felt guilty that I didn't finish college. I felt shameful that my parents got divorced. I felt guilt for how all my relationships with like my ex-girlfriends ended. They never ended well. I felt ashamed that I could start a lot of things, but I hardly finished any of them. I felt ashamed that I felt like I was supposed to have everything figured out in, you know, my mid-20s, and I had no direction, no vision for my life. And I had traveled familiar paths of shame every single day of my life. It's a super long story, but when I responded to the love of God and I accepted Jesus, I got saved, and I remember that time in my life, I felt so overwhelmed by God's radical love for me. And I just responded to that, and I just gave my life to Him. And when I got plugged into a church and I surrounded myself with other Christians, and they helped me kind of get rid of like these old ways of thinking and helped start to carve new paths of thinking for me, that's when I really felt all my shame, all my guilt disappear. Some of us, maybe we're Christians, we've been Christians for a while, but we're kind of like Lone Ranger Christians, you know what I mean? Like, we don't talk to anybody, we don't make friends, we just kind of have our relationship with God, and we read our Bible, and that's good, but we don't want to engage with other people for whatever reasons. Maybe there's shame behind that or something. But it is not until I really allowed the family of God to surround me and to be honest with them and to say, hey, these are things that I struggle with, these are things that I feel guilty about, these are things that have shame in my life. That's when things really started to, I felt like the weight of shame was lifting off me, because there were brothers and sisters holding me accountable, helping me to change, helping me to renew my mind and lead me into God's best. I'm just telling you, I don't know how it's done any other way. I don't think there's an example in scripture of anybody being like, I just love Jesus and I don't need to meet anybody, or I don't need to get plugged into His family. I don't think you'll find that anywhere. What the Bible tells us is that we're so much better together. And when we do things like small groups, or when you just like allow people, like if you visit the prayer team and you allow them to pray for you, or you just, you know, make friends in church, like all of these things, guys, listen, these are the things that help you get to this, okay? This doesn't just happen by yourself. I think it kind of can, but it doesn't get completed. It doesn't finish. You don't carve the new paths without the help of other people. And so the reason that I can stand before you right now today and say that I live my life, not like in an arrogant way, but I live my life shame-free and guilt-free for the most part, it's because I choose to embrace God's love for me more than embrace the guilt that I have in my life. And it's because I've stayed connected to His church, and I just refuse to travel the old paths that I've carved out for myself, because they're not that great. The H3 is way better. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm taking the H3. I'm taking the paths that God has carved for me. I'm taking the scenic route. I'm not even going to go back and revisit those old paths, my old ways of thinking, and bring a weed whacker with me because it's overgrown. I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to let it get overgrown, because Jesus really does want me to live no shame, without any shame in my life. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray for you, for all of us, and I really want you to kind of receive that into your heart right now, okay? And I'm just saying, I just don't want this to be like, I don't want this to be what you're used to. I really want you to receive something fresh from the Holy Spirit right now. So would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Jesus, right now, I pray in your name by the power of your Spirit that you would overwhelm us with your love, God. Yeah, Jesus, that we would not just understand it in our heads. Like right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take knowledge that we know about in our minds, but you would drop it down into the very core of our hearts and our souls and our spirits right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, I pray right now that people would literally feel a physical sensation somewhere just in their body of a weight being lifted off, or of chains being broken off, of letting go of something that is heavy, letting go of guilt, letting go of shame, understanding that it's because of your love that we get to do this. And listen, if you're doing that right now, it's okay. Jesus is saying, it's okay. I want you to give me that. That is my belonging. That is my possession. The shame, the guilt, the things that you have felt, maybe for years you've carried these things, that is my stuff. And I'm not going to give it back to you. So don't ask for it back. Don't walk down these old pathways expecting to get to that same destination. Because from right now, this moment on, I'm going to help you carve a brand new path. It's going to be scenic. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to be so much better for renewing your mind and traveling this path. I think it's a good thing if you're not a believer, you don't believe in Jesus, to receive that first and to literally let go of your shame before you do this next thing. Because I know there's people in here, whether it's Theater 4 here or different theaters around me, you have to make that decision still where you're going to let Jesus into your life and become your Savior, to become your God, to allow Him to be God in your life. And if that's you, can I ask you without any shame, okay, because you've already dropped that, right? We're taking care of that. Right now, I think Jesus wants you to respond to Him by saying that if you want to give your life right now because you're not a Christian, but you want to do that right now, unashamedly, on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand. Everybody's heads bowed, eyes closed. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead and lift your hand. Yeah, wow, there's hands going up here in Theater 4. Go ahead, no shame, yeah? Yeah, you're lifting your hand to God saying, God, I'm unashamed to give my life to you because you unashamedly gave your life to me. Yeah, praise God. You can put your hands down. Jesus, thank you so much for the faith that is in this room. We know that it is by faith and faith alone that we receive your goodness. We know that it is by faith and not by the things that we do. We're not judged by how we live our lives, although when we have faith, our lives will change. But it is by faith that shame is gone and canceled in Jesus' name. It is by faith that we can say, I am a Christian. It is by faith that I can say, I am a follower of you, Jesus. I love you because you love me. Thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. We respond to your amazing love today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please remain seated? There's something that I want you to do. I just want you to sit back and receive this and just receive more of God's love. So watch this.
awesome. And may the words of that song sink deep into your hearts that God loves you. And when we keep coming back to how he freely forgives us and he loves us, and we stay connected to God's people, and we keep coming to church, and we let God's word cleanse us, we can keep letting go of shame and guilt when it arises. So as we head into this new year, God is saying to you, shame off of you. Not shame on you, shame off of you. He wants you to let it go when it arises. Confess your sin, get right with him, make it right with others if you need to, but shame off of you, and then you can go through with his love, his freedom, his peace, and his joy. You want more of that in your life? I know I do. So let's do that. Let's live with his love in our hearts as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, you guys. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a wonderful week.